Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today is my friend Dan Armstrong coming back for another round. We're going to discuss the more cosmic aspects of this control agenda. We delved into the geopolitical surface level issues the last time, but now we'd like to get into more of the ET overlord, ET alien reptilian. My lab control aspects, and I couldn't think of anyone better than Dan to bring on. So, without any further ado, Dan, welcome back to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thank you, James.
Well, in the news, as you know, there's been all these UFO sightings all over the planet, along the eastern seaboard, off the Southern California coast again. These craft have been seen entering and exiting the water. There's been a lot of them. There's been a lot of low-level flights of very large craft over neighborhoods. They're routinely referred to as drones by the, as David Icke calls them, the alternative mainstream, right? Everything, that's their frame of reference. Everything is a drone. Everything is a hoax, Project Bluebeam, etc.
Which is really interesting because are they A, identified? And are they B, aerial phenomena?
Yes.
So, by their own definition, what are they?
They're UFOs, at least to use the old term, right?
Right.
And what's interesting is we've had on the show Jeff Brady, and he's had all kinds of great video of all kinds of oddly
Oh,
shaped
yes.
UFOs, craft. And during the show that I had him on, we got into a discussion from a terrestrial engineering, terrestrial aeronautical perspective of how form follows function, right? But you look at some of these so-called drones, and it's like, where's the lift coming from? What kind of propulsion system does it have? It's shaped in a way that's non-aerodynamic, at least to my untutored eyes. It's like, how does this thing fly? How does it stay there? Why is it luminescent? Why imbue all that capability into it? Why make it light up if it was merely a drone? And you look at the size and the scale of these things, and there's a lot of them. So I'm satisfied that they're not all drones. Some of them are absolutely legitimate alien craft. And it's interesting the strange response or non-response we've had. If they were merely drones, like the Iran, the congressman said, it was dropped off by an Iranian mothership drone, right? Which
Nonsense.
nonsense. And on the other hand, the Pentagon is saying through their spokesperson, well, they're not our military, they're not civilian military, they're not civilian launched from America, and they're not from any known foreign country. So then what are they? That they're the UFOs. That's basically what they're saying. So yeah, what are your thoughts about that? Because the way I
I
see it,
think what they're the big thing I'm noticing, because a lot of people are going to get caught up on which ones are real and which ones aren't. I think the simplest thing to look at is you could get them trying to prenup it in a way where they're going to mix some of their own reverse engineered things and that to mix and su like you know sully the whole data points and that the so there'll be some that they're going to clearly show were some kind of man-made construction. I think that's obvious from a lot of them that you're looking at. I saw this one over New Jersey, the place where Donald Trump has a residence, and it looks like it's something they reverse engineered back in the 50s. They're pulling up these old birds, you know, just so that like these false canards to get people to follow that. Meanwhile, if you look at the other videos, we see truly beyond any capability we can conceive, where they're forming in a line, they're going invisible, they're reappearing, they're chasing each other in strange circles, doing all kinds of things. This is happening in South America, that the spottings are really going worldwide. And what I find interesting is how the lamestream media is flooding the YouTube and everything, so you can't get to actual footage by amateurs that are trying to document which YouTube is supposed to be about, right? The amateur
Yes.
has their channel, but they're getting flooded out by the CNN and this and that and the Cuomo commentary and all of this. So I think there's the question is sort of like, why now? You
Yes.
know, is going to be a big part of that. So is this sort of like a last ditch effort in the liberal West democracy that we were talking about the other day? You know, the Biden administration, the European Union, and that, and just pulling out the big guns because they really don't want to pack up on January 6th. It's hard to know, but I do find it interesting that this has been building, and I don't think it's going to go away. I think it's going to intensify as we go
Okay.
forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe it's going to intensify. The phenomenon, as you know, is global, has been going on since time immemorial. And to muddy the waters, like you pointed out, we have these man-made craft, which we know they've been building for some time now, going back decades. And all the stories that we've heard, and I think there's some element of truth to it, that there is a Mars base, and that the deep black aerospace corporations and the military here have managed to get there and develop an installation or take over an existing installation. So it's interesting to watch, and one can't help but look at it through, I mean, I do, through the prism or through the filter of as above, so below. So we're seeing all these changes, jockeying for position, machinations on the surface at the geopolitical military level, and then in the skies, we're seeing signs and wonders. So, yeah, it's an interesting time we're in.
Well, it's interesting. I was gonna, it depends where you wanted to go today. I was doing some more stuff and you were talking about looking at it from the cosmic point of view, and I was looking back at the old gods and a bit of what we went into previously in the symbolism and sort of deep researching some of those symbols deeper. But before getting into that, I found it really interesting this phenomenon of looking at meteorites
Yes.
and their role with things like genocides and wiping out humanity and the relationship to like bees and this ancient Egyptian goddess, ancient like the real framework that's sort of going behind some of this at points. But yeah, I think what we need to look at, like you say, with the as above, so below, it's perfect. We're talking about when we're looking at the MyLabs, all of this, I think it's really important to frame it from the point of view of the war in heaven. And if we start with that as our point of departure, I think we can appreciate both the ancientness of the character of what we're dealing with, but also sort of the significance at this point in time in terms of the war in heaven. And that's what we're seeing manifested here in the terrestrial sphere.
Because we see, if one zooms out, you see stark parallels with, for example, the fall of Syria, where you have clearly proxies, ISIS, Al-Nusra, Al-Qaeda, call them what one will, they're Western-controlled assets,
Hey,
which
they're
have
diversified, okay?
they're diversified, yeah. And so now they've taken down Syria, which is, part and parcel of the greater Israel plan. Point being is that that is clearly a case of proxy warfare. Now, when you zoom out, you can see how the ET reptilian control system will utilize nation states, what used to be nation states, right? Factions therein to war against each other. And it very much reminds me of the wars of gods and men in the past, where, you would have these heroes, demigods. And then if you look at the lineage of a lot of the players, and I just had Gary Wayne on the show. He went at length
Oh, it
about
was
this whole thing.
excellent. I love
Yeah,
that interview.
me too. It was a great interview. And we're seeing that play out now, where there's these champions or heroes, if to use the old term, that are really from these hybridized bloodlines. At some level, they're getting guidance from a non-human control factor, and it's like a reshaping of the world, because as we've talked about before, there is a celestially driven timetable at work. which most people on the surface, and certainly most in the alternate mainstream, are not aware of, that there are a number of things at play. Things have to
Absolutely.
transpire. When you also when you look at it from the perspective of a biblical prophecy and the end times prophecy of more than just the Catholic Christian Bible, but in other religions too.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah, we see
In
this
Hinduism and
buildup.
everything, there's the
Yeah,
same tropes,
buildup
right? Like
to
they
like
still per
a Twilight of the Gods kind of scenario playing out.
Well, it's the script. And the script is like a program and it executes and it has just its subroutines and everything else, right? That it's doing. Yeah, so the hard thing is sort of looking at it historically. Like I think if we take words like Syria and then we change it with like what they were in ancient times, like the Levant and this and that and Babylon, we start to get a picture about what's really going on when we look at the interactions about who's who. It is concerning. I know there's this whole thing with trying to get, West Jerusalem and getting the temple built and all of this that goes along with this script that you're mentioning and the whole Greater Israel thing. Like, this whole thing, it's a massive blow. It's a blow to Russia. It's a blow to Lebanon. It's a blow to so much, right? Iran, especially. So, and it's a great benefit to Israel. That's the real only clear winner out of Syria falling. It's definitely not going to be the Syrians. They're not going to appreciate some extremist jihadis taking over their life, like the Taliban. But so this is very concerning because we're seeing that it is, for some reason, this area, the Middle East, always seems to be a very important control center with these ET interactions. So I was looking at it like looking at the cult of Cybele with Rome and looking at establishment of that religion. She's known as the goddess of like the meteorites that come in. And the Sibylline texts that they would go and consult were really about Cybele. And they're at one point they're tasked when they're facing, I can't remember, I have it in my notes, I can show it, but the point is they were consulting these texts. What do we do? So I find it interesting that the ancients, this whole issue of like the ancients realized that they had to consult these special texts, these oracles and everything in certain times when signs and omens were manifesting and saying, what is the meaning of this omen? We know that this is not auspicious. What do we do about it? How do we counter it? And I don't think the ancients were stupid or superstitious for doing this. I think maybe they had a very literal understanding of what they were doing and why. And I think this is part of the classified discourses Pierre Sabbat talks about, where they were basically consulting with their ET intermediaries about how to proceed in an affair, like how to win a war in that. And I wanted to get your perspective in when I shared the notes on it.
Yes, that's a very good point. I'm reminded of well, I used to watch I, Claudius when I was younger, and they made frequent reference to the Sibylline prophecies. In fact, the way Robert Graves wrote the story and the way it was depicted in the BBC series was, on Claudius' deathbed, the Sibyl prophetess comes to him, right, and he has a dialogue with her before he dies, right. So, point being is that there was an understanding amongst the people back then that their worldly affairs and the affairs of men and what goes on around us is inextricably woven in with the designs and the ideas and the whims of the gods, right? So whatever they needed to do to propitiate those gods, whether they were votive offerings, animal sacrifices, or even human sacrifices, whatever the case may be, they would do that. And they also would look at other signs. There were people, the augurs, who were trained specifically to see signs in animal behavior, in the way, the manner, in formations in which birds flew and what directions they flew. Those all had meaning in
Right.
those days. And you're right, it
Yes.
wasn't just a case of them being stupid and superstitious.
No.
They knew that there were these unseen, largely, controllers, a control system at work, which needed at some level to not only be sought for guidance and succor, but also to be appeased, because these gods could be quite wrathful, right? So, and if you look at the ancient history, it's replete with references of these commanders, Alexander sacrificing a bull, prior to a campaign, et cetera, et cetera. They knew very well that there is this delicate interplay between the gods, the ETs in our example, and themselves. And if they wanted to make their society work, flourish, the empires expand, they had to get the gods on their side.
Absolutely. And well, even I just want to very quickly touch on it. Even if we look at the manifestation, say, of the owls before people have abductions, we can see this as a modern part of how we understand omens in terms of their significance in relationship to these foreign beings. So I think that's really important. You mentioned like Alexander, it just invokes with me a lot. I'm looking at this strain line of thinking about this conqueror and colonizer as a hybrid, and how it's a repeated trauma from like past things like the Orion Wars, all these things, they're sort of running parallel and reenacting these dramas in different ways. And that's what we're seeing today with the current situation, right? It's just another reenactment of the same old story. There's nothing new under the sun.
And if you look at the stakes involved, where, okay, in the background we have the celestially driven timetable, we have these alien forces, a control system that is surreptitiously, and in some cases amongst the inner elite circles, there's direct interaction and guidance from one or more of these non-human control factor groups. And they're making this big play. And also, we've talked in the past about the close proximity of Mars. Jacques Vallée made the point that there seems to be a Mars window factor, that when Mars is closest in opposition to Earth, for whatever reason, the UFO activity increases dramatically, right? And we've seen this in the pattern in the past. Mars was in opposition, what, December 8th, which was just like last week. And since just last week, like all the craziness that's happened since then, and it ties into what Crowley talked about, the new Aeon of Horus, where this new world order will be inaugurated by wars, rumors of wars, signs and wonders in the sky, et cetera. It's building to that crescendo. And it seems to me, and I'd like your thoughts on this, that either there was an understanding on the part of the hybridized inner elite that have this connection with the non-human control factor, or they glean for themselves that these alien controllers they're going to make a move at some point. That just as the Japanese were saying, prior to the attack at Pearl Harbor, the decrypted diplomatic messages. They were saying to each other, the Japanese diplomats were saying to each other, by a certain date, things are going to start happening automatically, or words to that effect, if you recall. I think something like that happened as far as the ET control factor was concerned, where there was an understanding on the part of the hybridized elite that at some point, this ET control system would begin to exert itself publicly, overtly, massively, that things are going to start to happen automatically. Okay. And in order to try to stay ahead of the curve and to maintain this level of confusion, which is a psyop disinformation tactic, they went to all this trouble to, the whole blue beam concept, drones, everything thrown into the mix. I mean, I saw this, this cl not even a clever piece of disinformation where this Facebook group suddenly, that's devoted particularly to the UFO sightings, drone sightings in New Jersey. It grows massively in a very short time, 20,000 members on Facebook. Somebody puts out this spurious post purporting to have all the answers. Oh, take my word for it. These are military, yada, yada, yada. And then the post gets taken down, the group gets taken down. Everyone goes, ooh, that must mean that that post is real. No, it doesn't mean. Because
Bias
if you read,
confirmation.
that's bias confirmation. When you read what they said, I talked to my military friend who's also in the drones. He says he's 100%. No, they're not describing what the eyewitnesses are saying. There's no reason. If the purpose of these drones, as stated in that spurious post, was to monitor nuclear threat activity, they're not accomplishing that task. If they're driving everyone into hysterics in the process, it defeats the purpose, right, of trying to maintain order. And then why would they imbue all these capabilities, such as the ability to fly in and out of the ocean and et cetera, et cetera? Point being is that it's another example of trying to stay ahead of the curve, right?
Yeah, of course.
Well, they, and then you do a bait and switch, and the simple-minded people think, oh, because it was taken down, it must mean that there's some validity to it. It is real. But I mean, we've seen through these things in the past.
Well, your favorite, parroted phrases probably got a huge uptick on Google. Project Bluebeam. Project Bluebeam, they're all up there. That's what it is. It's drones, it's this, it's that, but it's also a distraction to it's managed. It's the old public relations saying, managing perceptions, motivating behaviors. That's the name of the game that they're in. So of course there's going to be a lot of, like I open with, a lot of muddying of the waters. I expect that, but it doesn't discount the videos they're showing. Extremely unique phenomenon. These aren't glorified drones. They're not some kind of reverse engineered man-made craft. They're clearly something otherworldly. And that's what's going to have to be addressed. And I think people are going to have a harder, I think they're just sort of trying to creep it into the public consciousness at this point, because doing it too quick, too fast isn't going to work. But they're just trying to get people normalize the whole phenomenon. Like, I don't understand where people don't understand. It's a violation of airspace. You can't be an unregistered vehicle over a certain size in the airspace without it being an issue. So I think I go back to this idea of the meteorites, and it's all of this like signs and wonders and everything else that are coming out. And I think there's a lot about it being part of the apocalypse, this revealing that's taking place. I th even saw a video where a person showed the sky glitching out in New Jersey. So we're not just looking at like even vehicles, like the actual, it's like almost like a lightning storm, but it isn't. It's just the sky flashing and glitching out. Like, I think a lot of the overlays that have been projected holographically are glitching out. And one of the reason we may even be seeing more of this too is simply the there is something changing our ability to perceive what's around us. It's not that these are something new. I think these were always around, and they're not able to control us not seeing it, because it's part of this revealing that has to take place.
Yes, I think that there's things going on. The fundamental concepts are changing. And this is probably part of the reason why the aliens are making such a big move, because they know that their man on the street, right, the ones that look up long enough from their digital devices, will start to notice things. Okay. I mean, by this point, the muggles being the muggles, they're you can't really call them a non-factor, because when they start rioting and looting, because the food supplies are cut off, then they become an issue. But the person who with a little bit more awareness, they're going to start noticing these things, and also the lack of a response. Typically, now I absolutely do agree that whether they're drones, whether they're UFOs, real alien craft, the segments of the powers that be are going to try to exploit that for control purposes, whether it's to frighten people.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a
It's the old
given.
Rahm Emanuel thing,
Yeah,
right?
it's the old Rahm Emanuel thing. Absolutely. Never let a good crisis go to waste. But you see the singular lack of response. And they're going to go and target these, Chinese balloons, so-called. They're going to try to shoot them down, fire rockets at them from planes and what have you. But for these so-called drones, which, if they really are foreign drones, then they should be brought down,
Of
okay?
course, no questions asked.
Because they could be dropping payloads of
Shoot
biological
first, ask
warfare.
questions later,
That's
like.
right. But they're not doing it. And I think that there's a good reason why they're not doing it, because a great many of them are not drones, right? They are these alien craft. And we're at that stage now
They're probably
where,
escorting alien VIPs.
that's right. There's a
Know
big,
what I mean?
the stage we're in now, where we're having huge losses in population. There was a gal on my Facebook news feed. She put a post up and describing this dream she had of all these twisters, tornadoes coming down, and she was trying to, glean some meaning and understanding from it. But what I got from that was, I'd spoken to a number of people who I know are abductees, who I know are my labs, and they've had dreams and very vivid visions of twisters coming down out of the night sky, people hiding behind trees, fleeing into the woods, these twisters coming down, sucking them up. So, metaphorically, literally, they're some kind of soul catchers, these twisters. And I can't help but remind myself of what happened to Ted Rice after he'd been cloned out as a young boy. When he was returned, his family was out looking for him. They all saw this multicolored twister with lights flashing within it, descend to ground level, depart, and in its wake, it left young, newly cloned Ted Rice. Point of relevance is, like, that metaphor of the twisters in the dreams, to me, that's a clear example of the soul harvesting, fake rapture aspect. And we have to factor into all this that so many people are having suddenly and unexpected departures from their earthly their mortal coils because of what's happened the last few years. And these Barbara Bartholdt and I had discussions about this. This is why some people see, and it's been reported by night staff at funeral parlors and mortuaries, why there's ET activity, why there's UFOs that hover over a place like that, why people have actually seen aliens in funeral parlors at night. It's because there's newly deceased there, right? And I think that factors in too, why so many of these craft are around. Some of them are, in my estimation, are attempting to hoover up a lot of the dearly departed. Because
Yes,
we're at
because
that
we
stage where
also
there's going to
really
be more
don't
of that.
understand what death is, and I hear a lot about people talk about death as they're returning to a ship. They're going back to their ship with their star family and things like this. So, I could see that they're, again, these interlopers, that's what I call them. I don't call it the cabal or anything else. They're all interlopers. To me, even archangels are interlopers. Everything between me and anything between me and source is an interloper. That's all I answer to is source. And yeah, I think there's, like, when you said that about the twisters, it reminded me, and going back to the Pierre Sabbat symbolism, you have the ruach is the Hebrew word meaning the wind, meaning also the ruach Elohim are like the high spirits, right? And so it's this thing of wind. And I can see, and that's not very popular in a lot of spiritual circles to talk disparagingly of the Elohim or this type of thing, but where I'm not meaning that it's not necessarily their concept. I mean, again, a lot of this stuff is just a perversion of what is on another level, a divine and uncorrupted version of the same thing. So I'm open-minded in that way. But yes, I think there is those types of things. I do think you have like this grim reaper. After all, I mean, Saturn is the lord of this planet, is the ruler of the earth. This is unquestioned, right? This carbon-based reality is a Saturn-based reality. And why wouldn't Saturn, the grim reaper, have rights to claim the souls when they're dead? You have a birth certificate and you got a death certificate. We think that's closing the accounts. Maybe it's just opening them up so they can exploit you in death.
that might explain in part the overkill. Excuse me, the overkill as far as the ingredients of the treatments. Okay, if it was merely depopulation, which we know that's a big part of it, why not just stop with the envenomation and the the spike proteins, et cetera, because that's going to finish people off. What's with all the nanotech? What's with these little Hydra thingies? And when you look at them through a microscope, they're with their tendrils, they're flipping you off, you know. F you. What's the purpose behind the Bluetooth signals, right? So, I mean, that's we've talked about this, but if the purpose was merely to depopulate, which we know that's a major facet of it, why the technological overkill for, when AstraZeneca was taken out of the picture because they were pretty much the CLOT shots, right? But apparently they didn't have all the high tech ingredients into it. So then the emphasis shifted onto the other big pharma corporations, which did have the messenger RNA and transfer RNA and all that stuff in it. Right. So it's not only that they got the tech in it, but they're also doing something to the DNA. Are they making it so
Absolutely.
it's more receptive to something? Right. So.
I get it that it's almost like making it into a Wi-Fi router because we know that the DNA is both a receiver and a transmitter of light code information. We literally have like trillions of terabytes of information in the cells of our body. So I think it's a really it's a simple hack into it. I always thought that the treatment was also meant to work on the VMAT2 gene. I think you're aware of that, the God gene, what they call a God particle. It's basically, and this isn't like speculative in that you see that there's like videos from people who worked in consulting in the Pentagon and that they were trying to get rid of Islamic jihadists. So they were claiming that finding the VMAT2 gene would help them combat religious extremism. But what it's also known as, and basically, is this ability to connect with the divine. Is and have mystical and spiritual experiences is the basic belief of what the VMAT2 gene expression does. So I think a lot of the treatment was designed in hopes of getting those who have that active gene to have it disabled, or at least to prepare people for a future shot where that could be accomplished.
And perhaps supplant it with something else, as we've seen with some of the poor victims who are spinning around fighting some invisible creature, dropping dead. It's clearly
Right.
they're
Well,
under
that's where
some.
that Reaper image is interesting too, again, right? So, yeah. I know we said that we talked some solutions, so I don't like to make it so it's so grim. No puns intended there, but yeah, I think it is sort of important to detail understanding the landscape that we're working with because a lot of people aren't having these points of view, and knowing what we can do. For me, it's always an ongoing battle against these these what is it? We fear not kings but principalities of darkness. I mean, this is what we're really working against. So I
Wickedness in
mean
high places, yes.
and so I think the big way of working through it is being aware of it and not fearing it. I mean, I think you really have to have the heart of a lion. You have to have
Yes.
that courage. We really have to look at this from a military standpoint where we have to summon the courage despite the odds, where fortune favors the bold.
Yes.
This is the thing that's going to take us down more than anything, as people are going to continue to cower on their knees rather than stand up. And call a spade here. And that's the key because they like to conquer the mind, but is also winning the hearts and the minds. They start with, so getting those hearts and coordinating them in terms of who they're investing in for political leaders and this and that hope and whatever. But instead we simply need people to stand up. I think we have more than enough reasons to demand accountability at this point. You know, we don't need to figure out everything. We can investigate while we start the prosecutions,
Yes,
in my point of view. I think this
yes.
is the time for the human rebellion, just like we did in the past against the reptilian overlordship. This is what we had failed. They gloat, they throw it in our faces. This is what the symbolism of the Brandenburg Gate and all of this is about, the victory of the Dog Star over the human rebellion, right? And this is the time again. Do people stand up? And what does that even look like? But I think it starts with at least having courage and facing the fear and not fearing it. And I'd like to hear your thoughts on that and what
Well,
you
that's
do for your
exactly how I feel
practice.
about it because, as you know, in the old days, and this wasn't that too long ago, my boyhood, even in a liberal hellhole like the San Francisco Bay Area, it was the norm for young boys. I would have been, first, second grade. And my friends, my male friends in school, my elementary school, we were all into military history. We didn't know all the details, but we would sit around. I remember this distinctly. We talk about the Roman Empire, the Greeks, the Spartans, World War II, Alexander. That was a normal part of the discourse. And as a in the old days, there was an expectation that a critical part of the transition process from boyhood to manhood, which is celebrated in all these different rituals and ceremonies around the world, right? Was an understanding. In the old days, they taught Greeks, the classics, Greek, Latin, et cetera,
Exactly.
but
Oh, yeah.
a part of that was also an understanding to some degree of military history, that you have to
Absolutely.
fight for what's right. You have to, that there were people in the past, call them heroes, and then you go further back to demigods, right? These hybridized super warriors, which what are we seeing today? All these stories about super soldiers, right?
And this is what, like, as Pierre says, this is the, so these are the classics, right? It's a classified discourse. It's telling you in plain sight what's going on, but through codological symbolism, right? The Trojan War. You know, this literally talking about like DNA editing, if you can read through it and understand it beyond just a literal act of history as well. And so we don't know where the history really begins and where the fiction is when we look at this. And that's why we need to understand the symbolism. But I agree, there's no knowledge nowadays. People don't base any, like, I don't care if you disagree with history, but tell me specifically. What parts, in what way, back it up in some way. But there's just this generalized skepticism that what calls skepticism of like, I don't know, man, is that somehow a counter argument to people who have knowledge
Yes.
who've studied things, and this isn't really acceptable. But
And
sorry, continue
oh
with
yeah,
the
the reason that I
history
brought it up,
analysis part.
yeah, well, the reason I brought it up was it was incumbent upon a young boy, a teenager who hoped to one day become a man, to at least have an awareness of these things. And so what they do is they muddy the waters, they create the Vietnam War, for example, so it just really sours everyone. If you grew up and you studied World War II, okay, now we know better. We know that both sides, Axis and Allies, are being played. Yes, that we got that part. But there's no doubt that there was heroism on both sides, extreme bravery and courageousness. So it was expected of a young man that these things, that when the time comes, you fight for your family. You fight for your country. You fight for the people that are important
Absolutely.
for you. And instead of what we're seeing now is this complete emasculation, where it's this weird dichotomy where the powers that be get away with as much warfare, shock and awe attacks, and destroying critical infrastructure all over the world. But it's to the point now where it's there's so many distractions to the man on the street and the kid in the school, that's all tuned out. And so it's almost as if it's happening in another world, but it's not happening in ours. And these kids grow up today who are going to be are already turning into adults, young adults. They're so emasculated. They will not fight for themselves. Let me give you an example. Sweden is a extreme version of
Right.
this because it's
Yes,
now the
yeah.
rape
I
capital of the
followed
world.
that.
There's a video of a guy. He's taking a video, probably with his phone. There's a jihadist climbing up a ladder up onto their second floor terrace, right? Now, and he's got a dagger in his hand. His intent is to do harm. Now, me, this is just me, it would be like, whoa, this is just like those sieges back in the day. Yeehaw, honey, get the pot of boiling tar going, right? Me, that guy's climbing up. He gets near the top. I'm pushing that ladder down. And if I look down, I see his prostate form. I'm going to look around for like a big potted plant or something or a bowling ball and drop it down on him because my home is my castle. Don't think you can just climb up
But
on a ladder.
this goes right back to what we were saying in the previous video about the nation, right?
Yes.
Because there's a difference between defending your country. That becomes the nation state. That's a
Yes.
later thing. But if you go to a lot of different cultures in the world, they're still highly
Yes.
tribalistic. Okay. Do not screw with the Vietnamese. I'll tell you, they're
Oh.
pretty polite, nice people. But if you act out of your role in their country, they will remind you very
Oh,
quickly
yes.
about
Oh,
it. And
yes.
they're very tribal, and attack on one of them is an attack against their whole country.
Oh,
So
yeah.
you will find that out but that is the normal pattern of behavior across the world, and is tribalism, right? So it's your ethnic and cultural roots. And that culture isn't just a thing that you have on holidays. That informs the family unit, your gender roles, your responsibilities, your rights, etc. And this is why we see that these Swedes in this is because they're just like Canada. It's this post-national state. So we're erasing gender, we're erasing family, we're erasing it all. It all goes to
Exactly.
the
And
technocratic state.
then the shame heaped upon the Swedes for having the audacity of being born white and having this rich cultural heritage, that's all been destroyed through cultural Marxism and the immigrant invasion. So fast forward to the story I'm telling you, but I saw this video. They had the chance. He was climbing up a very high ladder. They had the chance to knock him over or kick him or do something. Instead, they let him get to the top. He climbs over and now he's breaking into the house and he's stabbing people. See, whatever happened, have they become
Right.
so emasculated that the sense of self-preservation is not there? And the lament from all these women, because folks, I know, I'm delving into these issues of geopolitics and immigrant invasions, but that's part of the, you
Oh, it
zoom out,
is. I mean, this
that's
is your
proxy
invasion
warfare.
isn't happening because they're having little green men come out of ships. They've designed it a different type of invasion through the
Exactly.
divide and conquer and everything else. Why should they spare any of their people or their
When they
beings for
can,
this when they
yes.
can just use us against ourselves?
That's right. And then what they've done is they've pulled the cork and unleashed hordes of these jihadists and sub-Saharans, and many of them also Islamists. Look, chapter 9 of the Quran, it's like, kill the infidel, behead the infidel. That's their programming, right?
Well,
So,
you're coming from people too, places like Haiti or whatever. I mean, have you seen the stories there? I mean, not to focus on the negative, but I mean, they're having these warlords because the government's basically ineffective at this
yes.
point. They're going in and killing like 60, 70 senior citizens at once because they're saying there's witchcraft being used against them
Yeah.
and stuff, right? Like these are the people don't understand how the vast spectrum that exists on this planet because they live in their sheltered existence of their
Exactly.
suburban homes and filtered through a digital propaganda device and everything else. And they think they understand reality, but they have not traveled far
Yes.
beyond their homes.
No, they
They
haven't.
don't understand what the level people in Western countries are softies compared to people who that it's
Yes.
like everybody grew up on the hard side of the Bronx from
Yes.
the third world. Okay.
Yes.
Most of these people come from very hardened, countries that have had civil wars for decades back and forth, all manner of things, brutal
Yes.
colonialism by
Yes.
Western
Their
companies to
ability
extract resources.
their ability
Like,
to
I'm
go
not faulting the
into a
people,
violent
but
mode. Yeah, their ability to go into violent mode is instantaneous. Whereas your average Western person, oh, I don't want to get involved. I don't want to, because that they've lost that ability for self-defense. They've lost that ability to take preemptive action. And so now we have the spectacle of someone climbing up a ladder and stabbing the person taking the video, right? So,
Right.
and
And the
that's
person who's
proxy
taking the video
warfare.
says to themselves, well, I don't want to look like I'm racist
Yeah, it's
by
by
calling out this guy. Maybe if it was another white guy, I would stop it. But you know, I don't want to be con because they've turned that into like the equivalent of, you know, what the German party was in the 1930s. That's what they call you. And I know that's what stopped a lot. It's a magic word that's been used against Germans for years. I remember back when I was in Germany before my friend was telling me, she's like, you don't understand, they don't have control of parts of Berlin, the police, because they will be called that word. And that is just the Germans have been so programmed to be sensitive about that. That's their core identity that they respond to now, that they can't possibly do it without being considered whatever. And so we see again, like, not to go back into the politics, but we see they're actually trying to ban non-extreme left-wing German parties now. Like, not just Germany, all throughout Europe, there's a whole wave of just banning what they call right-wing parties. It's incredible. Do people? This is the context, not just about Syria, it's about looking at this beast that's being created, where.
Yes, if you look at that, if you remember, and I'll wrap up the first segment with this because
Sure.
we can talk about this for ages. But getting
Yeah.
back to the cosmic aspect to it, there was that
Yes.
classic Star Trek in the first iteration of it, William Shatner, Leonard Nimoy, where I can't remember if it was Klingons or Romulans, but for whatever reason, they had to interact, and so they docked their ships next to each other. They broke bread with each other and drank in each other's mess halls, right? And then what happened was this orb, this light phenomena, had penetrated into the Enterprise, and it remember that episode? It created conflict between the aliens and the Enterprise crew, and what it did was it reduced warfare to its most primordial base level of edged weapons, daggers, swords. And so the crews would be pitted against each other in never-ending combat. But in order to keep it going, the wounds were self-healing. So, they would come into the sick bay with grievous, belly wounds, what have you, and in short order, they were healed and they were back in the fray again. And so point of relevance is in our example, these sub-Saharans, these jihadists, clearly their entire culture has been hijacked by a hardcore juju, like negative entity magic, something going on, right?
Sure.
And
Yeah.
so they're a proxy army. There isn't a culture on earth that has been beaten, shamed, humiliated the way the Germans have. A once proud, I think of Arminius, the defeating the Romans and all that way back when. And to see what's become of them now, where it's not just Germany, but throughout Europe,
Yeah.
white women are laymanning. Where are the men? Why aren't they fighting for us? I've heard Irish women say this, and it made me think. It's like all those decades of the troubles. When you look at it from you zoom out, you look at these white people because this is agenda to wipe out white people.
Of course.
The Protestants and the Catholics, tit for tat, of course, MI5. And the British Army stirring the pot, of course, so, and using proxies like the Ulster Defence League, what have you, to keep the troubles going. So they had no qualms killing each other and setting off like charges in busy marketplaces in Omaha, which was a black op, just to keep the troubles going. But they can't stand up for themselves when their women and girls are being gang raped and murdered and stabbed. So
Yes.
what's happened with that? And so part of this recovery process is to recognize we are in a war combat situation. I don't want, I'm not going to have any military veterans out there who don't know even the basics of what we're talking about try to big shot me in this regard, because they don't realize that everywhere they've gone to try to fight this global war on terrorism, I don't know what they're calling it now, just led to more chaos, more disillusion, more pretext for shunting these war refugees all over the place, usually into the West, ironically. So we are combat veterans. That's why I call the show the Cosmic Switchboard. I call my commentaries the commentaries on the Cosmic Wars, because we are veterans of the Cosmic Wars. And the sooner people realize that this is a combat zone we're in, everything that all of these manifestations of this matrix control system we're seeing around us are literally designed to kill us. And the sooner we recognize that and we look at it from the standpoint of being fearless and having a heart of a lion instead of cowering, oh, is that a drone? Is that this? Is that that? It's like, come on, just people, you got to man up. Because the way the feminine movement has been weaponized, right? That and the parallel emasculation of manhood, there's going to be this core element that has not succumbed to any of that. And the time is right. The time is now to stand up in one way or another and make your presence felt. Because when if we realize that the control factor is non-human, automatically that is a unifying factor. Oh, you mean that's what's been behind us all along? So naturally, they would muddy the waters with all this stuff about drones, what have you. But anyhow, we've reached the end of a fascinating first segment. How can people get a hold of you, Dan?
Just email me for now. So mrdanielarmstrong2@gmail.com is the best way to contact me. And just take it from there. I would do Facebook friend requests, but I prefer people just send me the message first because I get too many requests. But I'm always happy to talk with people looking at discussing more the subjects that we talk about. So please feel free to contact me, or if you're looking at something for like an energy healing session. I mean, we do talk about a lot of the problems, but we do have the right to heal. And
Yes.
there's those of us who have developed the talents out of sheer necessity to do so. So
Yes.
please feel free, because I know I've saved myself a whole bundle in terms of energy healing just by learning how to do it myself. And I'm willing to share techniques, and maybe that's a bit about what we can talk in the second half there,
Yes,
James.
because I could share some techniques in that regard as well. And to our dear listeners out there, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.